Welcome back to Colt Gennaro Chat. It's a Sunday afternoon here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am sitting outside on a patio right now. Gorgeous weather here, Robbie. What about where you are? What's the weather like where you're at right now?
It's actually starts to drop here in Madrid, and it's really, really cold. It's kind of cold that you don't expect it to ever be in Madrid or Spain for that matter. But yeah, it gets really cold here during the winter. It wouldn't snow in Madrid, but in the mountains it does, and it gets to probably, I'd say it's about 2 or 3 degrees right now.
Oof.
That's Celsius.
That's a bit nippy, as you may say.
Chilly.
Yeah.
But then you go heating up.
That's right. That is a brilliant segue, Robbie. That's wonderful. certainly wasn't chilly. Certainly was not chilly at the Nuevo Mirandia on Sunday night, Robbie, where Atletico put 4 past Cádiz in the second half to win 4-1. Not really much to speak of in the first half. Atletico again failing to register a shot on target. But in the second half, Robbie, things really heated up. 5 in that second half, that second 45 minutes. Atletico notching 4 of them. Overall, general thoughts on the performance before we get a bit more detailed here.
Yeah, I think what we saw in the first half was a very nervous display, and we saw once Atletico did get the breakthrough, we saw Simeone's response. He looked more relieved than happy. But I think it's such a hard thing to discuss, and it's a hard thing to talk about because it's so hard to quantify. But I just wonder how those nerves have been affecting Atletico. Like, I mean, until they got that one goal, it felt like they were just like kind of every missed pass or missed opportunity, they're just kind of shoulders slumped down a little bit more, and it was just like, you could almost sense that they felt that, oh no, not again. I just wonder what effect that has on the team, on the performance, on the and what we'll see now that they kind of did open the floodgates and got 4, which is a they haven't scored 4 all season, so a necessary win, and one that might actually relieve a lot of that pressure that they had been previously feeling.
But yeah, there are still concerns though. That the first half into the second half, Atletico didn't get the opener until the 56th minute from Tomo Lema, who we will discuss in some detail momentarily. I think there's an issue with confidence right now. It's a mental problem, because Jimenez's distribution before he left the game with a possible concussion, Jimenez's distribution was really spotty. It's a matter of nerves. Jimenez and Savage wasn't sure about his position. Oblak was a bit tentative in coming out for certain crosses, trying to snag him, and then he gets credited for the own goal at the very end of the game. So defensively, Atletico still look a bit spotty and a little unstructured, a little bit nervous, but yeah, when the attack is humming like this, it really should make it easier and give the team confidence. Jimenez, the latest on him is that he left the game due to annoyances, molestias, but it was an elbow to the head and a probable concussion, Robbie, that knocked him out. How's that going to look for this defense going forward? Already a bit thin back there in central defense.
Yeah, it's funny because... Well, not funny. It's not funny at all. But it's interesting that Joao Felix was given a yellow card for something similar, and on this occasion, the Cadiz attacker came in and clearly caught Jimenez. There was a free awarded for it. The referee kind of did the signal that he used his hand, and there was no yellow card. And it's just like, and I don't know what was wrong with Jimenez. I actually kind of find it weird, a bit strange, because I don't think he was concussed though, because he was treated more for just kind of like maybe a little bit swollen, and he was struggling maybe to kind of deal with that. But
yeah, he had a big old ice pack on the side of his head, and he did look a little groggy. It is a little speculative, I suppose, but yeah, he looked a little worse for wear after that collision.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a strange one, but no, he looked a bit dodgy that first one. That, like, I think it was from the first 30 seconds where. I think it was it Salvi Sanchez, but
Salvi,
it him,
yep.
And yeah, and he. Yeah, and that comes after his owning up to making a mistake against Milan. And yeah, I just wonder where his head's at as well. But back to the point about Atletico giving up chances and stuff. I think given the fact that Atletico are trying to play a little bit more expansive and they're playing with Koke as the deepest midfielder, and they are trying to kind of be a more possession-focused team, those chances are going to happen. The problem is... The quality on display, they should be scoring 2, 3, and 4 goals every game.
Exactly.
I know that's unrealistic, but more often than not, this team should be scoring more than one goal. So giving up those chances occasionally isn't a massive deal. It's not like, provided it's not, obviously, against Levante, for example, there was clear issues with communication, with breakdown in how what was meant to be happening. It was Atletico weren't in control of the game, and that's worrying. Yeah, that's fine. But the odd occasion that Cadiz created, I mean, I wouldn't really worry too much about that. That's just football. And those chances are going to, teams are going to get those chances. I think it's unrealistic to expect them not to. So I wouldn't really worry too much about that. I'd worry about Atletico finding the breakthrough, and I understand that that's the first goal is the all important one that changes the game, that conditions how the rest of the game goes. But I think that Atletico are they have to be, and I know this sounds so simplistic, but once they find the breakthrough, they're fine. It's just they have to be a little bit more aggressive in looking for that breakthrough, I think. And obviously we can talk about why they can't find it and how they go about trying to find it in more productive ways. But I think this display, and even before the goals, I was thinking, like, what was it? What were we going to talk about when I came onto the podcast and stuff like that? And I was thinking, this Atletico Madrid looks absolutely fine. In terms of the way that they're structured, they've got width, they've got speed, they've got strength and dynamism in the middle. They've got movement in Griezmann dropping down a level to pick up the ball and progress play. They've got Lemar breaking tackles, beating players and kind of shifting defenders. And the only problem is the final pass into the box, the movement in the box, creating properly good chances. And I mean, I guess that's $1 million question or $1 million problem solution for Simeone, but I think that everything else looks fine for me at the, or looked fine for me even before the goals, but it's just that final pass is what's letting them down.
A wise man tweeted during this game that if Atletico could start every game 1-0 up, they'd be fine. Does that tweet sound familiar to you?
It does, but it wasn't a wise man that said it.
But yeah, I think that's a good point, is that Atletico were pretty kind of nervous. It was really a cagey start. Cadiz had a chance inside the first 20 seconds that Llorente had to scramble off the line because Salvi had done in Jimenez on the right-hand side. Salvi Sanchez was fabulous in this game for Cadiz. All their danger came from his side. He just laid Hermoso and Carrasco to waste multiple times. But the key number for Atletico's defense today was zero. They didn't concede any shots on target. Oblak did not have a save to make. Cadiz threatened in that first half when the possession was a bit more even, but Atletico grew into the game around the 30-40 minute mark. Started to get more players closer to the box, up the intensity and the rhythm after halftime, and then they got the opening goal, Robbie, through Tomo Lemar, who is very much back and very much playing well. The cross coming in from Carrasco finds Lemar's head, and I think that's the first header I've ever seen him score, and it was well taken.
Yeah, lovely, beautiful cushion header. It was kind of one of those weird ones, because it was such a good cross and such a good header that you're like, that he has to be outside. They had to have, they had to.
That's kind of what I thought at first. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, no way was he that free without getting an advantage somehow. But no, it was just an absolutely perfect ball from Carrasco. Beautiful header from Lemar, and then a slightly dodgy defender from Espino who lost Lemar. But that move, and then there was another couple, even before the goal, there was a couple of really nice moves involving Lemar, Carrasco, Griezmann, and they are capable of that. And I was just thinking about that too before we come on. I was just like, they do have that in the locker, like those lovely moves. But then I was also thinking, like, that's like the least you'd expect in some ways. But from a professional football team, like those kind of combinations. But when they can pull them off, they've got the kind of direct passing, the speed, the ability to beat men. And they can slice right through you like this Atletico. Like, make no mistake about that. They can do it. It's just a matter of kind of finding the processes or finding the structures wherein they're doing it a lot of times in a game, rather than kind of maybe doing it once or twice and not really knowing how it happened and not really knowing how to go back.
And how to replicate it, right?
Exactly, yeah. Like, because at the end of the day, it's all about those processes rather than. Like, and with Koke and Rodrigo de Paul, I guess that's playing caddies kind of helps with that, given the fact that they sit back and don't really press you too high. Rodrigo de Paul and Koke had the chance to kind of pick passes between the lines. But it's also then up to Lemar and Griezmann to control it, to find that little bit of pocket of space. And they did it today. And then with Carrasco and Llorente arriving down the wings, then they can be really, really troublesome for any team, and they can do it. But again, it's just a matter of finding ways, because in every game it's different. The principles might be the same, but within every game you have to figure it out all over again. Where is the space here? But I think Atletico can do it. It's just, again, that final pass into the box. Like, Atletico look fine in many ways, but I think that their shots on target are really, really. I was just looking at them during the game. Like, Atletico shots on target are like, I think they're like 11th or 12th in La Liga, which isn't good, or isn't good enough to be a team competing for honors. So I think in many of the kind of key metrics they're fine, but that final pass, and I'll have to kind of look into it more and maybe watch that Cadiz game back and see where it was going wrong for the first hour. But yeah, that final pass is letting them down.
Yeah, that was exactly what let them down in the first half. There was some miscommunication with DePaul and trying to track down those long balls. He would ping forward around the penalty area. Noticed that on a couple of occasions. Just some wires crossed. But in the second half, Robbie, the chance creation improved vastly. You mentioned DePaul and Koke as well, and I thought this was as good as Koke has looked all season. Taking more touches in advantageous positions, 137 touches and 123 passes for Koke on Sunday at the Nuevo Mirandilla. Both, I believe, are season highs. I don't know if DePaul and Koke is the combination to really unlock the potential in Atletico's midfield, but it worked in this game. That was about as good as Koke has looked all season. And yeah, just if he's able to take touches like in the opposing half of the pitch and around the final third, then rather than in his own half, I think it really feeds into how Atletico want to play and how Atletico can best play when Koke is taking touches in more advantageous positions. DePaul played great as well, and another key to why Atletico ran back the same 11 that they put out there for the Milan game, but the performance was improved in part because DePaul wasn't playing on the right-hand side anymore. He was playing in the middle again.
Yeah, and I think Llorente looked a little bit sharper. I think obviously Lemar was incredible again. And And yeah, caddies just kind of sit off the ball and Koke so that they can't, or so that, sorry, caddies sit off them as opposed to what Milan did, where they kind of push up on you. And so Koke and Rodrigo could dictate the game from there, which makes a massive difference. And but having said that, Atletico's two most convincing performances this season have come against Barcelona and Real Betis, two teams who do like the ball. And Cadiz are the exact opposite of that. So, and Cadiz are the exact kind of team that Atletico would have had an issue with playing in the past. And I know we can't really read too much into it because Cadiz aren't really in the best moment right now either. But in terms of finding a way to break down the opposition who are sitting deep, I think today was proof that they could do it. And again, it's not like a Barcelona philosophy where we just always play with the ball. We this is how we see the game. This is how we interpret the game. We want the ball even if we're 3 or 4 nil up. We still play like this because it's non-negotiable. Atletico just need that one goal, and they can absolutely. They still have that kind of muscle memory as to counter-attacking, and they can be absolutely ruthless, which we saw against Betis, we saw again there tonight. They have players that can, like Carrasco, Lamar, Griezmann, who can play on, like Cunha and Correa, who can play on the counter absolutely no problem and can really, really hurt you. But yeah, just that first goal and finding that and yeah, just kind of allowing the nerves to kind of disappear once that first goal comes is just so important. And in many ways, it's going to make or break Atletico season. Whether or not they can figure out the ways to break down teams and get that first goal,
mm-hmm.
Because you'd have no fear of Atletico with a 1-0 lead against anyone, really.
They looked a lot looser and a lot more relaxed after that first goal went in. Lemar then has another chance on a 1v1 with Ledesma, Robbie, that he turns onto his right foot. Ledesma makes the save. That was a huge chance, and I thought they're going to live to regret that, aren't they? But no, they continued to attack. They continued to push forward. Just so much space was opening up between Cadiz's midfield lines and defensive lines. Just so much space was there. Whenever Atletico lost the ball, they would quickly get it back and looked even more dangerous on the counter. You mentioned Llorente, who set up the second goal, his first assist of the year. Griezmann lashing it home with the right foot to make it 2-0. And then the third one comes from two other guys we briefly mentioned. Mateus Cunha setting up Angel Correa. Correa's first goal, Robbie, in 3 months.
Well, and he started, he was absolutely on fire there for a while.
He hadn't scored since the end of August. But yeah, great moment for him. And that the third goal was just, that was a beauty. That's how this Atletico team can play. With the one-touch passing, the great combination play outside the area, and then Cunha making that final pass that Atletico were missing in the first half for Correa to then just basically touch it home, just pass it into the goal to make it 3-0. Cadiz then got one back. What happened here on the... it's been called an Oblak own goal from this Lozano cross, Robbie. What did you see on this play toward the end of the game?
Yeah, just a really, really weird, awkward, looping ball. I mean, I know people are kind of blaming Oblak and that, but I don't know, is that just like a weird freak goal? Or obviously he could have done better, he'd want to have done better, but it's just one of those ones that's really strange, like that. I don't know. I mean, it went really, really high, dropped back down, and Oblak probably could have positioned himself a little bit better and got right underneath it and put his hands between the post put his hands closer to the post so that the ball couldn't slip through, obviously, but. Yeah, I, to be honest with you, like, I've been, I don't think Oblak is in his best moment either.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of reluctant to blame him for that one because it was an absolute freak. maybe I'd be singing a different song if it was nil all at the time that it happened. But I just think it was a weird one where Atletico were maybe just delighted to be leading by three, and it looked like they were cruising. Possibly took his eye off the ball a little bit, literally. But no, I mean, I don't think that. I just find it hard to kind of blame him for that one.
Yeah, it was very strange. It's a really high looping cross, and it might have been going in anyway, because Lozano had inadvertently or otherwise angled it to where it might always have been tucking in off the post. But yeah, Oblak was just kind of looking for this. It may have, in baseball, like, outfielders like can lose the ball in the lights. This is kind of what happened to Oblak here. He just kind of may have lost it in the lights. I don't know if you got a chance to read Dermot Corgan and Mark Carey's article in The Athletic about Atletico's defense.
But they had the
stats on Oblak, where he's let in three goals more than expected this season based on the expected shot quality and the shot on target quality. So we're back in Oblak to return to form, right? He has such a track record with Atletico in terms of saving their behinds on so many occasions. This is just a temporarily bad run of form for him, right?
I actually wrote about that exact same thing.
You did, yeah.
A month ago. I don't know, like, really, to be honest with you. I guess part of it is just, like, him being out in this world, and part of it is kind of just regressing a little bit. But, I mean, Atletico, I think it's just kind of a multifactorial, the fact that Atletico are that little bit more open at the back. They are struggling now at times defensively. Like, he's not as sure of his central defense pairing, and he's probably suffering a little bit from like the change as well. So there's that, and then there's just a little bit maybe regressing back to a little bit more of a normal performance, because I mean, what we had seen from him in the past was just probably not normal. Like, so although he did keep it going for a long time, but I'd probably have to have a look at the numbers more closely to see if it was sustainable or not. But yeah, I don't think that if Atletico don't win anything this year, it's going to be Jan Oblak's fault. And a down season, one down season out of six, and just to be clear, a down season for him still is really, really good. But I think that one down season in his whole time at Atletico is probably to be expected. And I wouldn't really put too much weight into it yet until we see more longer-term market decline, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, given his track record and his resume, I think the smart money is on him turning it around. And at any rate, that was really the only quote-unquote big chance Cádiz had in this game. And immediately after, Robbie, Mateus Cunha scores his second league goal of the season. Did you know Atletico have scored 10 times in the 169 minutes Cunha's been on the pitch in La Liga this season? He's had two big chances and has scored them both. Two goals from three shots on target, according to the Atletico Stats Twitter account. Oof, he's good. Maybe he's just a really good player.
You've got the bones of the theory there, Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Cunha's becoming a guy that, like Kevin Gamero in years past, I'm starting to feel like I'm protecting him. I'm a Cunha fanboy right now.
No, to be honest with you, I think he's actually, he answers a lot of it. And that's what I was kind of hinting at when I was talking earlier about that final pass. I mean, he might not be as clinical as Luis Suarez, but I think he moves around a little bit more. And it's so hard to tell because he only plays not garbage minutes, but he plays in weird situations. He's kind of like a situational player. So instead of just giving him 90 minutes, and I think to be honest with you, I think he deserves 90 minutes against Mallorca on next weekend. I think that he's earned that now at this stage.
Yeah.
Suarez is kind of, we've seen players kind of just fall by the wayside when they don't break into Simeone's plans immediately, and I think that Suarez has proven that he isn't in his best form, and he needs to figure a few things out. But I think Cunha has definitely deserved a start at least, and an hour, like.
Oh yeah, no question to me. I said that I think a month ago, right? 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. Cunha's been playing well with every opportunity, pretty much every opportunity he's had off the bench. 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there. He's really lively, energetic. He is full of activity, pops up all around the final third. He was working primarily on the right-hand side in this game. And this goal is, he just rips this into the top of the net. No chance for Ledesma. The great through ball from Griezmann to take out the defensive line. Just rips into the top of the net. Talk about a response. And that put the capper on a good second half for Atletico to make it 4-1 and wrap things up there. Three huge points for Atleti, given events elsewhere this weekend. Real Sociedad losing to Espanyol earlier on Sunday. Madrid and Sevilla are playing pretty much as we speak. So by the time this comes out, you all will know the result and what happened there. But Atletico needed this in more ways than one. The Milan loss was just so deflating, and they looked so limp and insipid. This game, in the second half particularly, much more improved. I thought Griezmann also had a very good game. He was able to find space and have that connection with Lemar and Llorente that's been missing so far. That helps everything kind of come together around the 18-yard box.
I think that Antoine Griezmann is a player who would definitely be helped by a more mobile striker. We saw today, well, his goal for one was that kind of came from a front post run. Was Suarez still on at that stage? Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was Suarez, wasn't it? That kind of ran a decoy run. So, and then he got another chance just after that that was very similar. So if he had if he had a more mobile striker moving defenders out of the way, Griezmann could make hay. Like Griezmann, we could get Griezmann back at his very best, and he has been really good so far. But I think there's times when he looks a little bit frustrated with the lack of space, the lack of clear chances that appear for him. But he's still an excellent finisher. So if he had a more mobile attacker moving pieces around the chessboard there, I think that he'd be able to be far more effective, and that would have obviously knock-on effects then further down the pitch and out wide. And yeah, I think that it would make it life a lot easier on Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, Suarez played, 75 minutes in this game, and I didn't really notice him that much. He had that one chance in the first half where he just skied it over the bar from a close angle, close-range opportunity, one-on-one with Ledesma, and then just hooked it over the bar, put too much power on it. Didn't really notice him aside from that. He's just too static in some games where Atletico want to play faster, want to play on the counterattack. That doesn't really suit Suarez, and he's not effective enough in the build-up play right now to where it helps Atletico's fluidity. It kind of harms it in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, he's still amazing and clinical and in that way. But I only think it's going to get worse as the season goes on, to be honest with you. It's going to become more of an issue. I just wonder what you do, because I don't think he's ready yet to admit defeat in this. And kind of, he's a player who's kind of built a career off proving people wrong, off this kind of chip on his shoulder. And I think that he's never, that's just who he is. Once that competitive spirit dies in him, he retires. Or he has to move to a league where it's just kind of one last paycheck. I think that he still considers himself an elite striker. And I just don't think that his body agrees, and I don't think that he is what Atletico need right now, despite the fact that his name still carries a lot of weight. And I think that Simeone's loyalty to him, I don't think it's fear of Suarez, but I think there probably is part of it kind of like trying to keep him happy, because Luis Suarez, when he's on your side, he is He would just do anything for you. But if you get an unhappy Luis Suarez, it's kind of going against you. I think that he could be, he might be the most pleasant guy to be around.
Yeah, that'll be a consideration as we now basically hit December. That Suarez is what his physical condition is going to look like. Sorry, what was that?
No, I was saying you're sitting outside on a terrace in Arizona, and Sevilla just took the lead against Real Madrid.
Ah,
and made header there from the corner.
There we go.
Your DVR on.
Yes, I will be going back and watching that as soon as I head back inside here. But before we sign off, Robbie, a quick preview of Atletico's next game against Mallorca. Mallorca have a cup game midweek. None of these Supercopa participants were drawn into the Copa del Rey's first round. So Mallorca have a game against Gimnástica Segoviana this week on Wednesday before traveling to Madrid to play Atletico on Saturday. Mallorca have had kind of an up and down year. I think they're winless in seven. They did not win.
Struggled against Rayo, yeah.
Yeah. They had a goalless draw against Getafe on Saturday, which, given where Getafe have been this year, not a great result, especially at home. Atletico have a chance to get a third straight win in La Liga. They had not won back-to-back games since August before today. They've got a great opportunity here, depending on how this Madrid-Sevilla game turns out. They've got a great opportunity here to solidify a top four position and head back to the top of the table. How have you seen Mallorca this season?
Yeah, I actually watched them pretty closely against Rayo, and Rayo, once Rayo took the lead, Mallorca, and this is exactly the game that Atletico would want to play, is take an early lead, and then Mallorca have to go at you, and then it's game over. I mean, it'll come down to whether or not Atletico can believe in themselves enough to go and get that first goal and find a way to score early and maybe put this to bed, and so that they can start to think a little bit more about I think they can start to kind of think about that Champions League. Oh, sorry, man, Courtois is under save, and it's Real Madrid again.
So, oh, just chaos at the Bernabeu, Robbie.
And you're sitting out on a balmy Arizona terrace, and you're in Phoenix, yeah. You're sitting out just kind of watching the world go by, and there's absolute chaos going on here at the Bernabeu.
Wow. So much going on this edition of Colchonero Chat. With Mallorca, I mean, Mallorca have a few really dangerous players. Lee Kangin, Ferninho, Take Kubo, Idris Ubaba is a good midfielder. Their defense has been pretty weak, although I've always liked Pablo Maffeo as a player. He's been pretty good for them this year. Their goalkeeping and defense have both been relatively weak, but they've got some very talented young players with a lot of potential going forward in attacking positions. So could be a tricky one. Mallorca are, they aren't lacking talent going forward, but yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna hazard a prediction, not even gonna venture that far forward. I'm gonna keep it relatively tight-lipped because the game is still a week away, but Atletico will be favored here at home against Mallorca. They will be favored.
Yeah, and I think it could take on a very similar look to what we saw tonight.
Yes.
Atletico get a goal, and they could score three or four. And yeah, it depends on who Simeone picks. Maybe he'll have the Champions League in mind and play Cunha and kind of sell it to Suarez in that way that he's kind of minding him for that. But and we might see a way more mobile Atletico. And this might just be the corner that we've been talking about, waiting for Atletico to turn all season with a couple of decent wins and then a big Champions League night.
Well, let's not jinx it. We've been led to a couple false dawns so far this season.
Absolutely.
Because Atleti have been so up and down. Joao Felix also expected to return for Atletico next week. He was training fully this week, but left out of the squad at the last minute. as Cholo choosing to play it safe with his calf injury. That'll do it for us on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. My laptop is about to die, so this is great timing. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of the show.
Absolutely no problem, Jeremy. I'll chat to you soon.
Yes, we'll chat next week. I'm going to head back inside and watch Madrid and Sevilla. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your continued support. Keep it on Into the Calderon on social media and on our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. We'll chat with you all again soon. Adios.